noche tu persona.
Ahorre, no compre sin visitar Emporio.
Larry on.
Why? And added that these are the facts as we know them. There is an epidemic of mass murder being committed by a virtual army of unidentified assassins.
It's your cyber cigarette, your internet nicotine, your verbal vape, and your online crack pipe. It's time for your podcast fix with Justin and Nickelbag Rick. It's Pod Vomit.
AIDS. We got AIDS.
AIDS.
AIDS. That's what we ended
so,
up
with.
AIDS.
AIDS was a big thing in the 80s.
AIDS.
AIDS. You got AIDS.
Live AIDS.
I don't have AIDS.
I might. I'm AIDS free.
I haven't got myself blood tested in ever.
Since the 80s?
Yeah.
I'm Nickelbag Rick.
I did have sex with Ryan White that one time. and then Magic Johnson.
But it was a three-way.
Yeah. No, separate occasions.
And Larry Flint's old lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a
sexy. And Courtney Love.
what a sexy night that was.
Right.
And you still was unscathed with AIDS.
Yeah.
The anti-host. That's how he manages. He's like Teflon Don.
I don't know. I mean, I said I don't know. I need to get tested, I guess.
You're right? Teflon Don.
Yeah.
Teflon
Dong Duck Dong.
That was another show.
I know.
All right. This is the 90s.
You know, the roaring 90s, as they called them.
The gay 90s.
Right?
No, it was the gay 90s.
When girls were wearing flapper skirts and
it was the gay
the
90s.
Buzz. Oh, wait.
The AIDS 80s to the gay 90s.
Okay, and then the Great Depression was around the corner, right?
Right. Well,
something about a something about a Dust Bowl crisis.
Speaking of the 90s, I got to meet my
I'm having trouble
hero.
With my decades, aren't I?
Yes, I got to meet my hero, my 90s hero.
Who, what
Kevin
hero?
Smith.
Kevin Smith? Kevin Sorbo?
No, Kevin. Not Hercules.
Yeah.
No, I was at the Atlanta Improv with my girlfriend, and
did you bring a Medusa head for him to sign?
No. I brought my own head for him to sign.
Oh.
Head.
With like little snakes
I was
hanging
like,
on
sign it.
Sign
it with your tongue, sir.
Did you glue little snakes to it?
No. But as the show was ending, it was a full packed crowd at the Improv. And I didn't really like how the setting was. Because we had to sit with strangers. So like, if we would have all...
Did you have to eat candy with strangers?
Like if me and you and my girlfriend and your wife would have all went, you know, we would have sat with like two other people that are not in our party, so it'd have been just awkward. And then we're watching Kevin Smith or whomever talk about
like her. How close were you to them?
Well, how close was I to the people?
Yeah.
Oh, like closer than you and I are sitting right now.
Is it like, you know, when you go to like one of those Japanese restaurants and you get at the hibachi table?
Yes, yes.
And it's like you see that other family and you're like, I don't know what to say.
And then you're sitting next to that one person.
Do I have to talk to them or no?
Well, it's weird because it's like, you know, you're with your person and you're talking about whatever and then you're kind of sort of politely talking to the other people, but you don't know them, but you're all there for one thing, you know.
Yep.
So it's just weird. So, you know, but the thing was really cool.
And that's an orgy.
Yeah. So the thing was really cool with Kevin. And it was like 2 hours long. And as he's done.
Well, so what's the Improv like? I mean, was he doing like
with him, I don't know about other, you know, people.
Was he with a group of people?
No,
or just
it was just him. He comes out. He, of course, says, I'll take questions. I'll raise my hand.
Does a little Q&A?
He asks one person.
Let me ask you something, though. When he does his Q&A, does he show his TNA?
No.
Okay.
But he was wearing a fucking hockey jersey that I want really bad.
He always wears that fucking hockey jersey.
No, this was a new one. It's black, and it looks like the Chicago
Blackhawks. With, like,
Blackhawks.
Sweat stains that from on it because he hasn't washed it in 3 weeks.
It's like the Chicago Blackhawks.
He really loves hockey, doesn't he?
He just likes wearing. He's a fat guy.
Oh.
You know.
So it's not so much about hockey, just it covers his fat?
Yeah. Listen, listen.
But he does like
hockey. I want to tell you about me meeting him.
Okay,
so you
met him.
And I tell him, I said, as we're leaving, he's coming out and we're coming out, and I just kind of run into him, and I'm like, holy shit, Kevin Smith.
Did you physically bump into him?
Very close. And then, so I said, hey, man, you should listen to our podcast. And he goes, what's the name of your podcast? And I said, Pod Vomit. And he goes, Pod Vomit? And I said, yes. And I was like, he said Pod Vomit. And
you're like, you made him say it kind of.
Yes.
I wonder if he said it like, Like he really didn't hear you the first time.
He was very enthusiastic. And I said, man, I love you, man. And he goes, I love you too, man. And I was just, I was like a teenage girl at a Beatles concert. I was weak in the knees. I was like, oh my God. So then I go. And
well,
I,
our young listeners might not know who the Beatles are.
Well, I was weak in the knees over Kevin Smith. So
let's say you were weak in the knees over
Paul Walker.
I don't know. Insert pop teen pop idol.
Kanye West. I don't know.
Kanye West. He's popular. I don't think he's a teen pop idol, though. Nah, people Taylor love Swift, him, though. Maybe.
Taylor Swift. Insert.
But you,
Katy Perry.
Yeah,
Justin
sure.
Bieber.
I think he's kind of washed up now, isn't he?
He is now.
He sounds hideous. But, oh, God. So, as I told him, I said, you know, I told him about Podbama, and then I said something on his Twitter about Pod Vomit, and I hashtagged something that he talked about that night at the improv.
What did he talk about?
It was something about his underwear. And I, it was
like his streaks in it?
No,
or
that he had to go buy new underwear. It was just a story about his underwear and everything. So,
did he say what size they were?
Large.
Like really large?
Yeah, because he's a big guy.
He's a big guy.
So I hashtagged that, and then he favored our tweet.
He favorited it?
Yes.
Has he listened to our show, though?
I don't know, but
you
we're that
him?
Close.
Ask him.
Look, I figure on the last show we talked about Michael Parks, who's in two of his movies, follows our show.
Ooh.
Now Kevin Smith has favored our tweet. I mean, man, before you know it, we're going to be hanging out and podcasting together in a big podcast circle jerk.
Rubbing nuts to with each other.
I go first.
Be like, hey, Kevin, you want to do a little dick rubbing?
He'll be like, no, but I'll be on your show. But I couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
He won't be on our show.
He said pod.
He doesn't even listen to it. He hates us. He hates. I hate myself.
No, no, no. You know, and the other a couple weeks ago was International Podcast Day, and I, you know, tweeted us, you know, a lot of shows that we talk about on our Twitter and everything, and I also hashtagged him and Smodco. So
did he favorite that as well?
No, he did not. But still, never.
Yeah, really. Ask him if he's listened to it though.
I will.
Next time, yeah.
I'll
bump into him at an improv.
I feel sometimes like I've almost turned into stalker.
Yeah,
because I go to every one of his things, and I go, you know. So, but I, you know, he's.
You're kind of over the top about it.
Am I wearing a movies hat today?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
see. Yeah, it's just.
You didn't even know.
I know. Sometimes it's my Leonardo Reaper hat.
It's who long? Who knows how long it's been on your head?
Well, but he was a great.
So did you get him to sign anything?
No,
though?
No, I didn't. I didn't even
mean,
have
no?
a picture or nothing. It was just really fast.
It was really fast.
Yes.
Like you didn't have time to say. Hold on. I got like a receipt from Woolworth. Can you sign that?
Woolworth. No, yeah. Man. I kind of premature sort of.
I mean, I think that receipt from Woolworth might be worth something in itself. Because like,
no,
nah. Oh.
Mail.
Well, it is our mail time. Yes, and it is. And our intern Tina is.
So says the audio clip.
Chomping at the bit to read mail. This is her favorite part because this is her part.
Right. Go take it away.
Yes, Tina, what do we got in the barf bag?
So from Craig Nithin, we have you guys ever entertained the idea of being. Have you ever entertained the idea
of being sorry? I've never entertained the idea of being sorry.
Have you ever entertained the idea of doing your show on helium? You should get drunk or high and hit helium through your show. That would be funny, said Craig.
I agree. That would be hilarious. We should do that. We did the thing on.
There is like one H that we like to do our shows on, and that is happiness. Go ahead.
Well, there is.
You thought I was going to say heroin.
No, I thought you was going to say hypnotic behavior. But
That was my second choice.
Me and Justin are inhaling helium in a clip, but it was at a birthday party.
Oh yeah, we did do that.
We took all the balloons and we sucked the helium. But I think my girlfriend sent the
and
clip.
We introduced Pod Vomit.
Yes, I think she sent the clip to our Facebook page. So okay. I'll try to find that.
Better find that and publish it.
Maybe we should do a show on helium.
Put it on the interwebs. A show on helium itself, like the substance.
We could go get us a rent us a tank, like at the Party City.
Yeah,
and just like a helium hookah. We could just like take hits off of it and talk like this the entire time. Hey, this is really funny. I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah. Okay, I thought you meant like we're going to talk about the subject of helium.
No. We just talk like that the entire show.
Okay.
Oh, you know what would be cool? Maybe we could get a guest in and just make them...
make them do it.
Yeah, we just ask them questions. They have to answer everything in helium talk.
Yeah. Because I don't want to talk... I don't want to, like, have a whole, like, study on helium like I'm Heisenberg or some shit.
No.
Yeah.
I think people would think it would be like a lecture by Donald Duck. Okay, so I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we will...
That's a thought.
...grab a tank of helium and bring it in here. And
I mean, all right... You know, but it'll be like, yeah, we need a tank, though. We can't just, like, fill up a bunch of balloons. Because, hold on a second, I got to inhale another balloon. I'll be
maybe
right
we'll
back.
We'll get the studio to rent us a tank, and we'll just say, just, it's like, you know, it's for an event.
Yeah, it's for a good cause.
Yeah, well, we'll just, you know, they do events. They do weddings. And
you think you can mainline helium?
There's beer that's like, brewed with helium, and when you drink it, you take a sip of it. You talk like that.
So now do they put beer in the Goodyear blimp for it to float?
The good beer?
The good beer.
Good beer blimp.
Woohoo! You got to have a good beer blimp.
And it's light and fluffy.
Light
and
good beer.
And makes you talk like this. Everybody's having a good time on good beer. Okay, what else we got, Tina?
Tina?
Jesse Rademore, we have, I'm confused. Is Tina the intern doing the intro? Or is it someone else? She sounds different. Jesse.
It's because she's using helium.
Yeah, it's because she's using heroin.
It's a heroin helium infused based.
Yeah.
But when she takes it in, it makes her sound like.
So you can mainline helium.
Yes, and that's why she sounds like that at the intro and the outro of our show.
Yeah.
She's doing that helium heroin mix cocktail.
Yeah.
Cock and tail.
Or she's not doing it, and we've already told you, idiots, for not listening to our show and. Realizing that.
Yeah, it's two different people.
No, it's not the same person.
No.
We've already said that. We've explained this before.
Yeah, no intern gets the lucky, you know.
Pay attention. No
intern gets the lucky privilege of getting to do the intro and the mail and the outro. You just get to do the mail. And maybe down the road, you'll get to do us.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay, do we have anything else?
You gotta suck your way to the top.
We have the Twitter twatter.
Twitter twatter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What you got?
So on the Twitter twatter, we have the Red and Jay Show, Matt Men Podcast, Four Guys Drinking Podcast, the Old Boys Podcast, and Lowbrow Podcast.
Lots of podcasts.
Lots of podcasts.
Well, that's how you get on the Twitter twatter, is you have to be a podcast.
Or if you're famous, it works.
Right. And nobody
you don't have. If you're famous, you don't have to have a podcast.
We had right.
We'll just have you on there.
Yeah,
because you're
and
famous.
You may have a podcast, and if you do have a podcast, mention us on your podcast.
Right. If you're famous, because we want to ride your coattails, so we can be famous too.
Sure. So right now we're letting other people ride our coattails.
Yeah. Yeah. And which also, nobody wants to ride those.
Right. You usually want to wring them out. They're nasty.
Yeah. Wring out but the ones that Rick's had because they smell like weed.
Weed and cum.
Weed and cum. Queed.
I call it queef. That's my perfume I'm going to release in the fall. Nickelbag Rick's Queef. Available at Woolworths.
I think they have that, but I think Helen Mirren markets it.
Helen Mirren Queef. Available at Macy's.
Yeah.
Not Woolworths.
No,
I think...
Remember Roses? That's another one.
Remember Roses.
The department store,
yes,
Roses?
Yes, Roses, right.
Yeah.
But that's my cologne that's coming out this winter. Remember Roses.
Yeah, but it's just your
it
farts
smells
bottled
like
up.
Your grandmother's queef.
With a mixture of Rick's farts.
Man, that was an old man laugh. I just like, hey, what was going on there?
I know.
I know.
That like really breathy, breathing, high pitched thing.
Your dirty old
man.
Why do
old men, is it like they can't laugh anymore? Like,
you're sort of stuck in laughter and in a breathing kind of.
They're trying to breathe, yeah. I guess.
It's hilarity and breathing all trying to take
That's place. What laughing sounds like when you wear a pacemaker.
You have to learn to breathe and laugh properly.
It's like you're trying to laugh with a collapsed lung.
But I don't know what's worse, though. Is like a laugh like that or just like this awful, awful, like, you know, you see people laugh where it's like, oh my God. on, dude.
I know.
I don't want to make you laugh.
Or if you see, like, a really, like, attractive girl, and then you tell her a joke, and she's like, oh, I'm like, wow.
I bet you sound terrible in bed.
And I'm like, you just want to do your best not to make her laugh. Yeah.
Your friends are like, was she engaging in bestiality last night? It's like, no, I'm dating this girl.
Like, were you practicing your lines for the donkey and Shrek?
Yeah, right. We're role playing.
Yeah.
We're looking for a gingerbread man.
Well, I already know where to find a Shrek.
Hey-o. Ooh,
he's already got the green shirt.
Right. Okay. Connect the dots on that one.
Connect the dots.
So I guess we're all done with our Twitter twatter and our insulting... Ex-co-host. You know, in code. And
like the Bible code?
Yeah.
Or the Da Vinci code?
The Da Vinci Bible code.
Yeah. If you listen to our show backwards, you'll hear all our references to the Illuminati.
Right. And the...
also, Paul is dead.
And flat the Flat Earth community. That's something new I found out here.
How people believe that the Earth is flat?
Yeah, it's just
I've heard of that, yeah, I think.
I just saw a thing.
Are they like, don't go over there. That's the edge. You're going to go over the side if you go too far.
The whole thing is like, there's no Antarctica. And I'm like, so? Who cares?
It's just not there.
Yeah. That's what they. That's what.
And the liberal media is trying to tell you that it is there.
Yeah.
And it's cold and icy, and there's penguins.
The only thing that I've.
But seen penguins don't fucking exist, my friend.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman. He's just.
He's a liar.
He's in the Matrix.
Yeah. He probably is.
Well, I guess that's a weird segue into the today's. Is the Matrix?
The Matrix. The Matrix was actually the tail end of the 90s.
Yeah, it was. It was like. It was. Yeah. We're going into cyberspace.
That's a good way to leave, though.
Yeah, sure.
I try to remember The Matrix more than I try to remember Star Wars Episode One.
Yeah, but, well, the 90s, though, I mean...
The 90s was my decade when I was in high school and I was a teenager.
See, I was already a parent. Yeah. And
right. The 90s is like Rick... My 90s is Rick's 80s.
No. Yes, correct.
And...
Less hairspray.
Less hairspray. People were like wearing more flannel and just letting their hair just do its natural thing.
It was almost kind of like the 60s.
Buying their clothes from the thrift stores.
Right.
Jeans with holes started becoming popular.
Alternative radio was the thing.
Alternative music. Now, what is alternative music? What's the what is it the alternative to?
It was the alternative to typical rock / pop radio. It was the, we don't really subscribe to a format. We're almost like college rock.
So basically, towards the end of the 80s, hair metal bands were being produced like boy bands. Like,
yes,
just kind of like, you play guitar, you can sing, you can be
like
winger.
We're all dressed in white leather, and we're all doing the same kind of guitar moves, and our hair is really big, and nobody in the band, you just know the lead singer, you don't know the rest of the group.
Yeah, because you don't want to, really.
And they only have one, maybe two songs, and they get to open.
Cherry Pie.
Sure. That's a perfect example of that right there. And, you know.
I mean, I remember being in, like, fourth or fifth grade when that came out, and then all the girls loved that song. Like, I love Cherry Pie. Sing me some Cherry Pie, please. I'm like, Even then, I was like, that song's fucking stupid.
Well,
and I like shitty, lame music.
I feel like there was two parts of that equation. There was the band who agreed to do such and the record label that really pushed that to happen. And they just got on board and said, okay, we will do this. And and then they bitched about afterwards because they received a lot of money to do that and go on tour and all this stuff. And then they bitched and go, yeah, but we look stupid. It's like, okay, but you didn't have to do that. There's where bands like Nirvana and
they did
Pearl
have
Jam,
to because the record labels told them to.
Sure, but that's where bands like, you know, that's how grunge worked its way in. It's like we're the anti-host,
right?
You know, we're just wearing jeans
and
t-shirts,
dude,
and
just
sweaters.
Like the, just like the '60s, just in the '70s, like, you know, people that started out like Bob Dylan from nothing.
Sure,
you know, it happened again in the early '90s.
Yep,
and instead of just, you know, produced pop. Like it
but,
was
you know,
towards
what was
the late
80s.
Interesting
about that, though, as far as that decade, is everything was about attention. You know, one thing that happened in the 90s, which really kind of went beyond into the future, was like MTV's The Real World kind of started reality TV and even stuff like the Blair Witch Project and what have you, you know, the, you know, and, you know, so you had a lot of like, it was, that was the decade, I think, you know, kind of the me decade, like, look at me, but at the same time, don't judge me because I want to be this or I want to, you know, I want to, if I'm grunge or, you know, I want to be myself, but.
Well, like, it's, and the similarity between grunge and punk is like, they never. It's just, it's like the media and society that came up with that label. It wasn't the bands.
Well, did you ever see that documentary about grunge where they talk about?
Well, I mean, saying you don't start a band and be like, yeah, man, we're creating this new music and it's called grunge.
Exactly.
No, that doesn't happen.
That's what I'm saying. It was just documentary. And they kind of like started honing in on the Seattle people.
Yeah.
And they're calling places up like coffee shops and you know, stores, you know, sell clothes.
Yeah.
And they're just like asking them all these questions about like their clientele and their clothing, and it's right. Like they're, all they're trying to do is design clothes to sell at Macy's to try to bring in next year's fall.
What is it with you and Macy's? Line,
you know. So yeah, but
Macy's was like the hip thing in the '80s, wasn't it?
But they were just trying to turn grunge into a hip thing, and just yet again.
Right. But we can take these crappy old flannel shirts and sell them for $40.
Yeah, these retro shirts with bands on
that you
them
could have got that they were that the bands, the people in the bands that you liked at the time were buying them from thrift stores for like $3.
And then there was like bands like, or not bands, but like, you know, Woodstock '94.
Yeah.
Where you had all these bands come out. And to me, that was still like, you know, rock's last kind of gasp. Of being rock.
Yeah, well, it's like they could see the writing on the wall. Rock and roll was kind of dwindling, so let's bring out something from our, you know, from the history, from our past that was like really well, high revered and successful.
Let's bring some of the people that were at the original, and let's intermingle them with, you know, today's hits.
Now, if they did a Woodstock, it'd be like Jimi Hendrix's hologram.
Yeah, and Katy Perry and Taylor Swift and Kanye.
I hate how they're doing people's holograms. Like, come on now. Like they'll take a dead person and create a hologram.
I'll be honest with you, though. I kind of think that's the future of music.
That's terrible. I hope not.
They will put Elvis on tour.
You and I need to go around and destroy all the hologram machines.
I want the pod bomb.
The Skynet of hologram machines.
Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skynet. Skynet.
We'll send Kyle Reese back to destroy the hologram machines.
Skynet presents... The Grateful Dead and Elvis Presley with the Booty Blues opening up.
Starting with Schwarzenegger.
All hologram, all night.
Oh, God. It'll be a hologram that we send back to kill the holograms.
But let me tell you, I really and truly believe that...
And then we have Blade Runners.
We will have like a hologram Beatles at Vegas where you see different versions of the Beatles.
Oh, God. And Stop.
I think we'll see an Elvis.
Enough! Enough!
And Tupac.
Silence your insolence. Yeah, I hope not. That shit really sucks. Mm-hmm. I don't like how they're doing that. But, okay, but, you know, back to the 90s. Grunge wasn't really anything if it wasn't for Nirvana, right? I mean, grunge really got its start in the late 80s and had plenty of bands, Mudhoney, the Meat Puppets, plenty of bands that were in that genre.
Right.
But Nirvana is what made it popular. And they weren't really the first one necessarily. And they don't really even necessarily subscribe to that genre themselves. I mean, they're what you said, they're anti-pop. They're
sure, they're everything that's not played on the radio. They're not Whitney Houston. They're not
right,
you know, whatever was played in,
I
the,
mean,
you know,
he's saying
pop radio.
He's saying "Great Me" over and over in his lyrics, you know. How many a lot of radio stations are like, well, I don't know if we should play that.
Well, and
even Walmart, when the In Utero album came out, and the song "Rape Me" was actually changed to "Waif Me" for the Walmart Waif albums.
Well,
yeah.
It's like they did the same.
What does that mean, "Waif Me"?
With Alanis Morissette, they did the same.
Bring me a wafer.
They did the same thing with Alanis Morissette with "Jagged Little Pill." They wouldn't play certain. They had to have edited tracks on.
Really,
yeah,
I didn't know they did that with
know,
her
because she said, "You know, go down on me in the
fucking
theater."
Her, oh yeah, going down in a theater.
Yeah. And they didn't like the idea of that. And then Rob Zombie's "Hellbilly Deluxe." He couldn't have the X or the X in his forehead or the pentagram on the album cover for Walmart. So,
wow. Yeah, Walmart was, I don't know what their deal was in the 90s, but they were trying to censor everything.
Well, they had this moral obligation, I guess. You know,
to me, it's weird that Nirvana allowed them to do that, but they were like, yeah.
Well, Geffen Records was really the one that was up pulling those strings.
That's true. Geffen was like, we need to sell records at Walmart because people go there and buy them.
Well,
CDs. That CDs was the media of the 90s, wouldn't
sure.
you say?
Oh, absolutely. I'll never forget, there was a guy one time.
You still had cassette tapes then, but, you know, a lot of times I would even buy CDs and, like, make mixtapes with the CDs.
There was a guy one time at Blockbuster that told me this. He said, Blockbuster has told me that we're working on this thing where you can, like, download basically any kind of music and put it on a CD for like $1 a track. Like, say for instance, you were having a party and you wanted to like program all the music to this party. You could have a list and say it cost you, you had 89 songs you wanted to play. You could pay $89 and get all these songs. And I was like, really? But now, that's true. I mean, if you really wanted to do that, you just put that all on an iPod.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't like how people just like one song from a band and just download the one song.
Well, see, that's what's happened.
I know. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't do that. Do you?
No.
If I only like one song by the band, I just don't ever buy anything from them.
To me, that still goes back to the one-hit wonder. And,
right. Well, I don't even care how many hits they have, but because their hits has nothing to do with how many songs
I'm
going to like.
I used to, me, I was always very judgmental about people who would always have best of albums in their album collection. It's like best of Steppenwolf, best of
especially
Vegas,
they have like three albums.
Of
that's the best of all.
Yeah,
of
it's
a
like, well, don't you ever listen to anything else they do besides the best of? Why do you hear the stuff on the radio?
People
this
that only like
the
greatest hits.
Yeah, it's like to me, when a record company back in the day would put like, I remember at one point Pink Floyd was kind of making a resurgence when they got back together without Roger Waters. It was just the original three. And then all of a sudden, there was this best of Pink Floyd record that came out with stuff from, like, Animals. And
was it Pulse, that one?
I remember it was like a man and a woman. The artwork was very still similar to some of the artwork they were using on the current stuff. And basically, it was just a record company just using old stuff.
They make a lot of money. I mean, and they don't have to, re-record anything.
All they just contractually obligate somebody to put out another.
Just take a bunch of master tapes together and take the hits from them.
Yeah, put some new album artwork on it.
That's it. It's easy money. Yeah. I don't blame the record. I get why they do it. But it's people that I'm talking about. They'll buy just like one track here, and they listen to is playlists and tracks.
And
that they
bought. I think in a way that's kind of what the 90s is for.
You're missing out on everything the band stands for. You're not hearing the other songs.
Right.
So my rule is, I only buy an album from somebody if I like at least 70% of the music on there. And I don't have to like every song, but I have to like at least 70% of it before I buy the album. And if I don't, I just don't buy anything from them. I don't buy singles. And I listen to full albums. I mean, I every now and then I put my music on random, but I still will listen to full albums.
Well, you think in the 90s...
People don't do that anymore.
I mean, and that's the other thing, too, in the 90s. That's what I can remember, like, when the computer became king, when it started making the transition, the internet.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people had computers in the 80s, but like Windows became a thing. Like when Windows 95 came out, that was the first.
Oh man,
that's when everybody was getting a computer.
Well, my best friend growing up, his dad worked for IBM.
He
always had a computer in the house.
Yep.
And so in the 90s, I can remember like in 94 and 95, going over to his house like on a Friday or Saturday night and getting on the computer and just looking at
just playing solitaire over and over. Or were you playing Leisure Suit Larry?
Well,
you ever heard of that game?
Yeah, I remember stuff like that. Oh, we found out about that like long before the internet came around. But but just all kinds of stuff. When Yahoo was new.
Yeah. So did he have like the dial-up internet?
Oh, of course.
So it's like so dial-up internet used your phone line.
And if somebody called,
somebody called, it kicked you off. But before you start, it's not. This is before, always being connected back in the day when the internet first got its start and, at least the public.
Yeah, there was no Facebook, no anything. No social media.
You were
no
clicking
Twitter,
the thing to connect, and it was like. It sounded like you took two fax machines
and
slammed them
like
together,
and then
they fucked.
The emergency broadcast system.
Yeah.
For some reason, that's their choice sound.
All right.
Sounds like a modem cranking up from 1992.
I know. But remember that, the painfulness of just
You've
having to wait?
Mail.
Like, all right, hurry up and connect. It just would take forever. And And as soon as someone called, it kicked you off the internet.
Yeah, you'd be in the middle of something, or you'd be waiting and waiting and waiting, and all of a sudden it was like...
Yeah, you'd be trying to, you go to your favorite porn site, and, you know, when you click on a pic, you're going to wait at least 15 minutes.
You literally had to watch it, like, pixelate.
By pixel, the picture would form on the page.
You'd see something, and you'd be like, that's hot. Man, this is awesome.
Do you remember everybody's, like, little gifts that they would have, like... gifts have kind of come back, but back this is kind of when they first started out.
Oh, yeah.
You go to, like, somebody's, like, GeoCities or Angel Fire
page.
And they'd have, like, some little two-frame animation GIF.
And it would, like, go back and forth.
Like some stick figure guy moving his legs or something shit. I don't know.
Some dick in and out of a mouth.
It's funny that every now and then you stumble upon, like, a website that was obviously made in 1994.
Right.
That somehow is still up.
Just retro.
They're like, that was made in 94, clearly.
But that was, but that was the thing. And I can remember a friend of mine telling me, I can get you a really nice computer with all the, you know, he told me, like, all what it could do.
Yeah.
For, like, $3,000. And I'm like,
what? Whoa.
Yeah, I don't want to be on the internet that
And it's going to be obsolete in 3 weeks.
Exactly. I never took him up on that fucking
Nah. Like, yeah, good call on that.
I think I'm just going to wait until I can, you know, just get it on my phone.
Yeah. Laptop. You would have had a little bit of a wait, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think my first computer was still in the late 90s. I had AOL.
So you were going through AOL to dial up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember when AOL would mail you shit all the time?
Yeah, those CDs in the mail.
Yeah, and they would always try to do it in an interesting way.
I'd be like, thanks for another coaster, AOL.
It was always like, hey, it's AOL of a tin now.
I know.
Metal tin.
Man,
this is AOL.
They were so hard up for business.
Yeah.
And AOL there was a couple of them. There's AOL. There's Prodigy. Remember that?
Prodigy.
What's the other one? CompuServe.
That was an early one.
Yeah.
I remember a friend of mine telling me about CompuServe. That was like early back. It was like the screen still looked like war games. And I was just,
I think they used a thing called Usenet. Where they would log onto like message boards, and it was all text.
And exactly, that's all it was. And I had a friend of mine, like in the early 90s, that would tell me about it. He goes, "Oh yeah, you can do these things. Like, you can make like a drink. It's just all like, you know, this shit on your computer,
yeah,
like a glass." And he's like, "You know, if you got a refill, you do it." I'm like, "What the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
You know, this is ridiculous." And now, of course, there's emoticons and.
I think, and then that's where trolls were first born, you know?
Oh, of course.
It's like they would go on the message boards and be like, I think Clueless is a shitty movie.
Right.
And then some would be like, no, but no way, no man, Clueless is the best movie ever. Paul Rudd is sexy as hell.
Well, you know, it's funny, it's like in the 2000s, what was it? I guess, was it MySpace, you know?
MySpace.
And it's funny because, like, with...
Not your space.
Facebook and...
MySpace.
Steve Jobs, there's been movies about, you know, Facebook and...
Yeah, but not MySpace.
They never talked about Tom Anderson.
There's like eight movies about Steve Jobs.
Yeah, but not
Tom Anderson. I forgot his name, but Tom he's Anderson. Your friend. No matter who you are
friend.
And you have a MySpace account, Tom is your friend.
Tom is your friend.
And it's the same picture of him sitting at that desk.
And that's his Instagram picture, too.
Is it really?
Yeah. I was reading a thing
that's
about
his thing. He's like, I'm never going to change it.
Well, you know, but he wound up making like $85 billion off that stupid
Damn.
Site.
Well, it's still a thing, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I was reading a thing about MySpace the other day. It said that it still gets over like 1.5 million hits a week. So why shut it down? I mean, it's stupid, you know?
Yeah, people are still going. You know, I think people like bands use it to promote their stuff.
It would be kind of weird to see MySpace make like a resurgence, but I think that they have
What
too
if
much-
it just like combines with Facebook and they call it MyFace?
My face space. My yeah. space. My Facebook.
Spacebook.
My Spacebook. Like, I don't know. Tom Zuckerberg.
Face space.
I'm Tom Zuckerberg.
Tom Zuckerberg. And they get married and have a Star Wars themed wedding.
All right. And they play 90s music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. From Woodstock 94.
Did we talk about Kevin Smith yet? Anyways. We didn't really talk about the movies much, but it was a joke. But yeah, we didn't talk about his movies. We didn't talk about you meeting him.
Well, that's what, you know, that's where he's got him. Oh, how are we doing, Tina?
good. Okay.
Well, you know, I mean, that was
what's that first movie came out with that was just that just kind of defined a whole genre, a whole thing.
Well, the indie film, and, you know, that's the thing.
What was the movie called, Rick?
Clerks.
But he got the inspiration from the movie about Richard Linklater.
I knew it was. I was trying to set you up. I did a very bad job of it, but I was trying to set you up.
Well, but he got the inspiration from a movie called Slacker.
And Richard Linklater. Not Slackers.
Yeah,
Slacker. There's another movie called Slackers.
But this is Slacker.
Okay.
And Richard Linklater.
Not to be confused with Slackers.
Richard Linklater directed, and you know,
Richard Linklater. Who?
He's from Austin, Texas, and the thing that Kevin Smith said was, man, if this guy from the middle of nowhere, Texas, can make this movie and get it made, why can't I make a movie about what happened?
And I've never even heard of that movie.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not great, though. But Clerks kind of really takes off. I mean, it does really well, and unexpectedly. And how much did he spend to make that movie?
Less than a million.
Easily, but...
He actually budgeted everything on credit cards. He said... What I did, I just knew this was the only thing I was going to, you know, I was going to make this movie. So I got loans and any credit card that would approve me,
yeah.
I would just get it. And he goes, I felt like either I was going to owe a lot of people money or the movie would make money and I could just pay it all back.
It's funny because did he intentionally make Clerks black and white?
Yeah, because he couldn't afford the color film.
So it really, like, it really does cost more money because that was the whole thing with Ed Wood, too. He made black and white films, too.
Yeah, because... It costs more to use color film, so that's why. And also,
because I would think, like, I don't know, Super 8 or whatever is. I mean, why is it really different? You know,
I guess to get it, you know, if you're going to try to release it as a film,
yeah,
you know, it's going to cost more to put it on that stock to get it put out there and look like, you know, to look good,
yeah,
know? And instead of just looking all kind of, because you could probably go color,
but you can only afford to release like one copy,
yeah, and black and white's probably going to look still. Black and white. It's still gonna, if it's shot in black and white, it'll still look.
But, you know, it makes, I mean.
It was made in a convenience store, so
right.
It still kind of has that sort of convenience store camera look to it.
Definitely. So that's why it's like, it almost seemed intentional that it was black and white.
You know, but.
More than a budgetary constraint.
Right. And then,
you know, just because it works so well with the movie.
But see, but just not him. I mean, there was a lot of people like, you know, that was Tarantino's time, too, with Pulp Fiction. And,
yeah.
And
how come he didn't make the sequel black and white?
Natural Born Killers. Well,
he decided to go color for that one.
I think he even felt, I mean, you know, I'm not speaking for him, but I just feel like...
But he can,
at
can
the
you?
Beginning, though...
You can be a spokesman.
But the beginning of Clerks 2, it is black and white. When Dante pulls
right.
up... And then as
the very, very beginning.
And as
they do this whole Wizard of Oz thing.
Well, but as
it's
the
crazy.
Quick stop is burning... That's
there's a
the
tornado
color,
and shit. Dorothy gets sucked up.
As the quick stop is burning, the color...
Yeah,
burns
I knew. I remember that. Yeah.
So... I guess he kind of, you know, explains off the you know, the black.
Yeah, because Quickstop burned down, so
sure.
It's like
and he says,
it marked the time for a change.
And he says,
basically, I got more money now; I can do color.
In Clerks 3, when he makes Clerks 3, that it will go back and forth between color and black.
Okay.
White. So, you know, I think that'll be cool. But you know, Quentin also, I think, you know, he was
Quentin like, Tarantino.
Yeah, I think he was the one that also kind of the main one, really.
I wonder, like, how much he spent on Reservoir Dogs. Was that? I mean, that was Reservoir Dogs. That was his first film.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you how he managed to do that. He sold the stories to True Romance and Natural Born Killers.
Oh yeah,
to
I forgot he was
Reservoir Dogs. So he took that money to make those movies, and
the Natural Born Killers actually came out later.
It came out in 1994.
Yeah.
And Oliver Stone did it. Now if. I love that movie, and I thought that movie was a.
Didn't he write the script for part of the script, at least from Dusk Till Dawn?
Him and Robert Rodriguez,
yeah.
did that. That's why that movie feels like two movies.
Yeah, I know. I feel like the first half hour or 45 minutes of it is all Tarantino,
and that's why I'm not really a big fan of that
yeah.
movie.
I like the first part of it.
I like the first and the second part of it, but I just feel like they should both have been two different movies.
I know. I didn't really like the second part as much.
You know, well, I just didn't like that you have this one situation taking place,
yeah.
and it's like, oh, and vampire.
And that's probably why I would have maybe appreciated it more if I knew what it was. That's what it was going to be.
And then at the end, you know, you get that end scene, and it's like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. But if this was all been some vampire
yeah.
film. That would have been one thing, but I agree. I just felt like part of it was like, oh, we also got George Clooney because he
yeah.
was really big in the 90s because of ER
yeah.
and whatnot. So it was like,
right.
We got, you know, it was like a clusterfuck. It's like, oh, we got, you know, Robert Rodriguez who just did The Mexican. which is getting a buzz. We got Tarantino, who's done Pulp Fiction, and everybody's sucking his dick. George Clooney, he's big now. Let's just put all this together, and we can't go wrong.
The Mexican?
I think that was what it was.
El Mariachi?
Yeah, or El Mariachi?
Yeah. Desperado was, I think, that really like kicked his career off.
It was, yeah, whatever the order of that was, where he started getting noticed.
Yeah, but I think Desperado was the one that launched his career. You know, okay, that's when they started taking notice.
But
more.
That's why I think Dust Till Dawn was kind of more of a clusterfuck.
It's like even with Reservoir Dogs, it came out and it got some success, but it wasn't huge. Well, and then Pulp Fiction,
I think, what really
kicked off Tarantino's career.
What pushed Reservoir Dogs it had this sort of darkness to it. And
it's so simple. I mean, the whole movie is filmed in like two or three locations,
and it's more dialogue based. I mean, right. And that's the whole thing. When you have that one scene that you're seeing, which obviously shifts the whole dynamic of the movie,
right?
But that keeps people. You know, that's what was great about that. Because
he always likes to throw in like a little bit of shock where you least expect it.
Well, and it leads up to that point, and then you're experiencing that, and then you go from that point on, and you're still kind of reeling in the whole.
It's funny, like, too, how movies like that can, like, give birth to, like, old songs that people forgot about.
Or how you'll remember that song, that scene because of that song.
Yep.
Every time I hear Steelers
always associate
Will,
it.
I always think of that Reservoir Dogs.
Yep, me too.
I don't think of anything else but that.
You know? I do too.
So,
but, think about a lot of people that never heard that song before. They're hearing it now, and they think it's just—they probably just think it's written for Pulp Fiction.
And
you
think
know
of the irony of you're hearing it for the first time as a guy gets his ear cut off.
Yeah, right. Because he's not hearing it anymore.
Well, at least not all of it.
Hey, that song was good up until you removed my ear.
Right, I can't hear all the song.
Yeah, it's muffled sounding now.
Yeah, and now I'm dead.
Right,
you poured gasoline on me.
I know that wasn't cool. I'm just trying to be a cop, making my way. You know.
Well, I think especially back then, that was definitely the thing, man, was, take it, like, California, Brad Pitt.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, and, I think film really kind of took a lot of liberties that they did. In the 80s, you had stuff like Lethal Weapon and Terminator and stuff.
80s was about the action films,
And it was so diluted to the point where it's like, oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme, he knows how to do this.
But
can he act? Let's put him in a movie.
But, a lot of, like, intellectual movies came out in the 60s and 70s, and it seemed like the 90s was kind of bringing that spirit back.
With stuff like Good Will Hunting, even.
Yeah.
That was a good movie. I like some of the, the monsters. I mean, like how they brought horror back sort of in the 90s, too.
Right.
Like Scream, for instance. Scream was a good
Scream. The thing that was good about Scream too was kind of it was making fun of itself.
And by
it was
the person,
kind of almost a parody of horror movies.
And but Wes Craven, wrote and directed that.
Right.
And making fun of the movies that he
who's
had,
dead now.
Well, not just now.
Well, but he's now dead.
Sure.
He's not. He wasn't dead yesterday. I mean, he was still dead yesterday and the day before, but.
He's still dead. Yeah, he's still dead.
He hasn't come back to life yet, which if anybody will come back to life, I think it would be Wes Craven.
Right. But still come back in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's still relevant in the 90s.
Yeah. And, the 90s had and the 90s had some pretty good blockbuster films, too. I mean,
oh, yeah. And
Jurassic Park,
It was like the Jaws of the 90s.
Yeah.
Braveheart. Yeah.
American Beauty.
American Beauty, right at the tail end of the 90s.
Sure. And then we had Y2K. Remember that whole thing?
Yes,
we're going into the
2000s.
Oh,
yeah.
The world's going to end. Because, was it the Mayans? Was that the thing?
No, that was 2012.
Oh, yeah. I forget.
It was because the programming in the computers were in single digits or double digits and couldn't handle the change of the century. And it would.
Right.
But and a lot of software relies on time and things like that, so it would mess up a lot of things.
We made it through.
Yeah, nothing happened.
It wasn't like Martin Landau's Space 1999.
No, I mean, they did have to patch a lot of things to fix the date issues in a lot of computer systems, but like bank vaults weren't just opening and
if you watch the movie,
transmissions weren't locking up.
The,
like they
the
said was going to happen.
Yeah.
Inatech.
That was their job.
They were patching the software to fix for the Millennium stuff.
And that's another thing. The
did you know a lot of people, though, that were stocking up on, like, canned goods and shit, like, right at the end of the 90s, 98? Because they started, like, really bringing it up in, like, I want to say 1998, and then it was, like, really, people were starting to really freak out in, like, mid-99. Who dug a bomb shelter? Because nuclear bombs are just going to go off, man, on their own.
And I was like, you know, there's nothing you can do about that, man. You're just going to have to ride it out. But, you know, I called him up that night, and I said, so what are you doing? He's like, you want to come over? And I'm like, well, I don't want to come over. I'm just going to hang out here. He's like, yeah, I think I made kind of a stupid mistake here. And I was like, yeah, nothing's going to fucking happen. Nothing. You know, it's just all hype.
So, but before all that, was he like just really like, yeah, it's going to happen, Rick.
Well,
and you're not going to have enough food to eat, and you're not taking any of mine.
I gave him the nickname of Conservative Chuck.
Okay. You think that was that more of a conservative belief?
He was.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
So back to the 90s, I bet one person that he couldn't stand who was kind of pretty popular in the 90s, Bill Clinton.
Oh, he hated him. He was all about Newt.
Bill Clinton was like one of the more like
rock star presidents.
Yeah, absolutely. Like he was like one of the more like cool presidents, you know.
Sure. And it was a two-termer, you know, and he was on Arsenio.
It was like after like Reagan and Bush and all these like.
Well, the thing was is back in those days, he went on MTV.
Yeah.
Which there was an interview.
Who went on MTV?
Clinton.
Oh.
And in the
80s?
Yeah. No, in the 90s.
90s.
And he, you know, he would talk to, you know, MTV. Like
he was trying to get in touch with the youth.
Exactly. But they tried to reach out to George Bush.
And sticking his dick in Bosnia at the same time.
And he wouldn't do it. Bush wouldn't do it. He was like, oh, the MTV people don't vote. And then so
yeah.
Bill Clinton was like.
Probably true, but they will one day.
I bet they do. And all of a sudden.
I bet they influence their parents.
So, but that was it. He started making. That's when you see.
He plays saxophone on Arsenio Hall.
What's the thing that they have on MTV all the time? The Rock the Vote.
Yeah.
That's where that started. You know?
Vote or die, motherfucker.
Yeah. How are we doing on time?
Good. Stop asking about time. You just peed. You peed like so much. Oh my god.
So
you're probably gonna clog up his plumbing with all your piss.
What about good movie Psycho? Fight Club.
Fight Club's a good movie. I did enjoy it. I didn't know anything about it either when I saw the previews, and the previews for Fight Club were like saw Brad Pitt and some dude fighting in like a creepy weird basement, just a lot of weird flashes real quick, but it was really good at not revealing what it was about. And I rented the movie thinking, those previews look kind of cool. So I didn't know that it was going to turn into what it did. It was a lot more complicated and a lot more about, and had a lot more to it than just people fighting an underground club in some basement. So, yeah, definitely an unexpected movie there. It was turned out really good, though. Really enjoyed that movie. What did you think about Fight Club? Have you seen the movie Fight Club?
Yeah.
Did you know anything about it before you saw it?
No.
I didn't either. And that's what I was just saying is I thought it was just going to be about like some underground fighting kind of thing, and it turned out to be a lot more than that. And now after reading Chuck Palahniuk books.
Like Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just after reading about Chuck Palahniuk books, he kind of does that a lot. And it's just kind of his thing. It's like, here's one idea, but then it's going to go in a completely different direction.
Right.
Well, Sixth Sense just had a just different twist, though, you know.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to say also about, like, in the 90s is I feel like the horror genre changed.
Yeah.
With, like, The Sixth Sense, you know, with M. Night Shyamalan.
More like thrillers?
Well, more, you know, like, for instance, what was the one?
You know what?
Not Sixth Sense, Seven.
Yeah, Seven.
Know, and stuff like that.
You ever seen What Lies Beneath?
No.
Oh, that's a really good one. Came out in the 90s.
You know, that's another one.
It might have been 2000.
What about Basic
Instinct? Late 90s. It had Harrison Ford in it, and he's kind of like a. I don't know. I don't want to give too much away. You should watch it.
Okay.
Well, Basic Instinct? That's
yeah.
not.
That was a good 90s.
It's a thriller,
film.
Though.
A thriller, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Tina, you got something going on there?
Fargo.
Oh, yeah. Fargo.
Fargo's a great movie.
Right.
And now, like, you notice, like, movies from back in the 80s and 90s, they're starting to spawn TV shows.
Right.
Like, there's a Fargo TV series.
Well, there's a Scream TV series.
Yeah, there's a Scream TV series. The Fargo TV series is really good, actually, and it feels a lot like the movie.
But it's different stories every time,
it's
correct?
A different story, yeah. It's kind of like an anthology, kind of like American Horror Story.
Okay.
Different cast, different stories. But they're not reusing the same
American
actors,
Horror
though.
Story Hotel?
I'm waiting for other people to watch it and tell me if it's good or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, man, because they're really pressing on the whole Lady Gaga.
Yeah, thing. I was like, if you don't know that Lady Gaga is in the movie, let us tell you 12
and
times.
And I feel like that's almost an insult to the whole series. It's like, okay, she's never been a part of this, and now it's like, okay, you don't need to sell her. She
yeah,
sells
but,
herself.
But you know there's some stupid deal going on. But like, well,
of course.
Lady Gaga will be in your show, but you have to mention her in each preview at least 15 times.
Yeah, and she has to be, you know. And
yeah.
Like, so I don't know.
It's like, I'm waiting for somebody to tell me if it's any good or not, and then I may or may not
binge
watch it.
Netflix it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. Watch it later. I'm not going to be like, I got to get home in time to watch
right.
American Boring Story, as you called it.
Fear the American Boring Story.
You coined the term American Boring Story. And at the time, I was like, hey, man, that's not cool. But now, I agree.
I don't know. I just felt like that. There has been several episodes, several series of that where, man, it's just boring. You know,
yeah.
I like the one with the coven. I thought that was pretty good.
I like the first three.
I didn't care for the first one. Asylum, I just thought was hit and miss. I just never really disliked. I always felt
yeah.
like the intros were really darker than the storyline.
They were kind of, yeah.
And then I like Coven. Okay.
You're right about that.
Yeah, and then I just never felt like it's really horror related. It's just a lot of layered stories about people.
Yeah.
And like what I liked about Coven, how they talked about the Axeman and how he was a real serial killer in true in real
right.
life and everything. But I also thought that that last one. What was the last one?
I don't know, but none of this shit came out in the '90s.
No.
So off on a rant, as
well,
what
was from the like I'll tell you something.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. Tim Burton, man, Tim Burton's career was like booming in the '90s. I mean he just finished Batman at the end of the 80s, and then
right.
he ended up doing Batman Returns,
well,
Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, he was on a roll, and then, boom, what happened to Tim Burton?
Well, I still think he's putting stuff, he
does like Frankenweenie, and it bombs. And
I still think he just does what he wants to do.
Yeah.
He's like,
But he's not as successful as he used to be,
Right, right.
But he was, I mean, 90s was really his time to shine.
And then you had, I don't know, you had stuff like, I think also like Atlanta right around that time. Oh,
yeah.
The Olympics,
right.
We had that.
We had the Olympics in Atlanta.
I think that we started opening up more so to be Hollywood here.
Maybe, perhaps, yeah.
But,
it put Atlanta more on the map, sure, when that happened.
Yeah, the Olympics, that was a big thing. The 96 Olympics. I didn't go to any of them.
I didn't either.
I didn't care.
But I was like 15.
I just didn't give a shit.
I didn't care.
I mean,
a 15-year-old doesn't give a shit about the Olympics.
I said this about the Olympics when it happened. I said, I didn't care about the Olympics before they come to Atlanta, and I'm not going to care about them after, and I never have, and I never did. So
why do you have all those like Wheaties cutouts of Bruce Jenner all over your wall?
Because that's going to be worth some money, man.
One day they'll never know him
Jenner
as Bruce.
Anymore. He's Caitlyn.
One day people are going to be like, Bruce, what? That bitch won Olympic medals?
Something else that used to happen a lot in the 90s was the was it the 1-888
We already
lines.
Talked about AIDS.
No,
what?
Not AIDS. It was like the party line things people would call.
Oh, this phone sex thing?
Well, it was like before the internet happened, it was there would be these ads and pagers. Remember beepers?
Yeah.
Everybody had a beeper.
Yeah. I remember they would take you couldn't have them at school because if you had one, that meant you're a drug dealer.
Yeah. And you're waiting to sell some drugs for somebody to pick
definitely.
Up some drugs.
And people would page codes to each other, their number, but 911 or I need, boobs or something in the numbers.
Yeah. 911 or boobs.
Boobs.
Hey, can you hook me up with some boobs?
I need some boobs. I need some boobs like right now.
I need some boobs
yesterday.
I'll tell you something else I was thinking about the 90s. And if you go back and watch this, this is extremely 90s. And you're like, oh, my God, what a just a tacky decade was Melrose Place.
Yeah.
Man, that comes on like some cable channel. And, you know,
yeah,
we'll watch like just add it just because it's like, you know, it's funny because it's like 20 years old.
I mean, I didn't watch that. I didn't watch any of those shows like Beverly Hills 90210.
I didn't watch that, but.
I don't like any of those. They're soap operas is all
they are.
It's exactly just like The Bald and the Beautiful and the in General Hospital
yes,
and all that crap.
It's just nighttime, but it's like they have bigger stars and.
The Bold. I can't help it. I'm always going to say The Bald and the Beautiful.
Bald and the Beautiful.
It's The Bold and the Beautiful.
It's weird to me. Well, and that was the other thing. Like, in the 90s, that was the other big thing was, like, Springer and Maury and Montel and
yeah.
Jimmy Jones. And, you know, it was like so.
And all the MTV Spring Break shit.
Oh, my God. But
yeah.
It was like, really and truly, back in those days, soap operas took a back seat to all these talk shows.
Talk shows, yeah.
You know, Oprah was.
And Jerry
Geraldo.
Springer got his. Start in the 90s, didn't he?
He's still on the air.
Really?
Him and Maury. Pogues.
Wow. They're like the last to survive.
And every, well, I think they're both just like, we're taking the check. If they still want to put this show on, and
yeah.
All Maury Povich is.
Because they're the only ones that are willing to like put freaks and just crazy
but,
shit
well,
on
all
there.
Maury Povich
do they still
is,
do, is it still
is,
like
is,
that?
Are you the baby's daddy? The
paternity test,
that's
all it is.
And all Jerry Springer is, which.
Why don't they just call it Baby Daddy Show?
Exactly. Maury Povich presents the Baby Daddy Show.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Here he comes, Maury Povich. Let's get the results. You know, they
yeah.
had this one show that came out about a year or so ago, and it was called The Talk or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just basically a culmination of Jerry Springer, all these shows, just
yeah.
there's people fighting on camera.
Right.
But that's all that's left, I think.
And then there was Talk Soup that came out and talked about all the shows.
Yes.
You remember
they're
that?
It's still out, but they don't talk about
it. It's like Greg Kinnear was on it way back when.
It was the very
when.
First one.
Yeah. yeah.
And now it's.
I don't. Is it still
it's
on?
It's still on, but
wow.
it's more about.
It's like The Soup or something, right?
Yeah, but they talk about reality TV. Like
well, that's what there is to talk about.
Yeah.
They don't have talk shows.
And that's, you know, you can thank MTV for The Real World.
Yeah.
That's where that spawned. In the
is 90s. The Real World, Real World, yeah, The Real World still going?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't watch MTV
because
it's no music on
right.
there. And the music that they did play, it would be.
I think there's like an MTV 6 now that plays music.
Oh.
I don't
even want to subscribe to that.
I don't know, because you know how they like make another
right.
one that
MTV
makes
two.
Yeah, that makes music and then we're just
martial
music
arts channel.
And then it's more and then after like a few months it's more reality shows. And
right.
then MTV 3. And then that becomes more reality shows.
Like softcore and, porn.
Right. So it's gotta be up to 7 or 8 by now.
We can't put softcore porn on regular MTV,
no.
so it'll be on MTV 69.
MTV softcore. Late night MTV.
MTV Blue. Well, I think we hit all the 90s things.
Most
know?
Of them. Most of the important things.
Yeah. There's no Ebola.
Ebola.
So we got to end on that because we ended with AIDS and started this one with AIDS. So
yeah.
I don't know.
We're going to bookend it with AIDS.
Yeah, we're going to bookend it with AIDS and set Woodstock on fire.
Yeah.
And this show. So
right. And sling some mud at each other.
Yeah, sling some mud at each other and burn this show.
Yeah.
And
a disco inferno.
I'm your host, Nickelback Rick.
And I'm the anti-host, me, Justin.
And our intern,
Tina is
Tina.
Too drunk to talk.
I'm slightly drunk, Tina.
Yeah, and our webmaster's out of the country, smuggling drugs back for us.
Hopefully. Bring us back some H. that's my new thing. I'm just saying I got H all the time.
Podvomit, podvomit.com. See you next time.
Later, bitches.
H. The drug mule.
You've been listening to Podvomit on podvomit.com. Don't forget to put your yak in our sack. Make sure to send us email at our barf bag at podvomit@gmail.com. You can find us all over the place. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. Also follow us on podomatic.com and check us out on SoundCloud. You can find Pod Vomit on the Tangent Bound Network. Go gawk at us at Instagram. We are also on the Stitcher Network, and please make sure to donate to our Patreon site. Pod Vomit is recorded at Fenario Studios.